I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
All right, let us pray and then we can sit down after that. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning and we thank you for Christmas. We thank you, Lord, for coming down in the flesh, coming down to our level and to minister to us, to give your son, Jesus, for our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us this Christmas day. Open our eyes to see something marvelous in your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. And this morning, I want to share with you just two very simple points from the scriptures. And will be done. Amen. Now I'm reading from Luke chapter 1 and from verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Amen. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Amen. Now, as you can see in this verse, one of the first things that I notice in this passage is how that difficult times and trouble and complex things happen to righteous people also. Amen. Now, these people here, a couple, the Bible says they were both righteous. They were both good people. You know, I mean, you don't always find a couple where both of them are good people. Commonly, you find couples where one is good and the other is, the word is churlish. Amen. Amen. However, there are some couples too where both are good. And as we are seeing, here is a couple. The man is good and the woman is good. Amen. Amen. And yet they had no child. Hallelujah. They had no child. So I guess the point is that sometimes there are some of us who sort of feel that we can explain everything or feel obliged to explain everything. Some people take it upon themselves to by all means find an explanation for something even if they don't understand it. You know. And that has many people often attributing things or assigning reasons to situations that are not the reason for it. Do you see? I can show you a quick example in John chapter 9. In the book of John, chapter 9. We're going to come back to this, but let's look at a quick example in John chapter 9. It says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth." That means he was born blind. Can you see that? "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" You know, the disciples just see a man who's been born blind, blind from birth, and they assume that this one means that somebody has sinned. You get it? For such a bad thing to happen to someone, it's like everybody is born with eyes seeing. How come you alone, you're born, you have the eyes, but they don't see? So you must have done something wrong. You know, so, and then they ascribed it to, they said it was either his parents or himself. Now, that's what they couldn't understand, because to be born blind means you were blind before you had the chance to do anything. So the disciples were asking, and then Jesus answered and said, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Hallelujah. So Jesus said, none of the above, that it's not as you think it is. You know, that there are problems and difficulties that people come into, and they are more complex than can be explained by a simple 2+2 equation. Hallelujah. And so when you don't understand something and you don't know what is going on, you just shut up. Amen. You just be a nice person, be a nice friend, be a nice brother. You know, we may not be able to solve everybody's problem, and we may not be able to explain everybody's situation, but we can make everyone as comfortable as possible while the problem still lingers. Amen. So you may not understand why somebody continues to remain poor. No matter what you put in his hand, he still doesn't have anything. You may not understand why someone's sickness is not being healed in spite of many years of prayer. You may not understand why someone's situation is the way it is. But what you can do is to be a source of encouragement while the person is still in that situation. Can I have an amen? Because from our lesson this morning, we can see that bad things can happen to good people. Isn't it? That Zacharias and his wife were both good people. Both of them were blameless before the Lord. And yet they experienced fertility issues, you know, which had lingered, had been around since they got married. And now the Bible says they were old. They were old and they still did not have children. Hallelujah. And so that is the first lesson I see in this chapter. Now verse 8 says, "And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." And verse 10 says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." That means the whole multitude was praying outside at the time of incense. Can you change the version, please? Change the version. Give us NASB or New Living Translation, and let's read. Amen. It's Christmas, you know, and we need to relax. All right. So it says, "And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of incense." Amen. Give us verse 8 again. Verse 8 says, "Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service," before God in the appointed order of his division. Then verse 9, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Amen. Now, over here, I want you to just notice how Zacharias was not so consumed by his problem that he wouldn't serve the Lord or serve in the church or do his duty or do what was expected of him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That Zacharias did not switch off. Amen. Now, this is a very important quality to develop as a Christian, that things do happen. And when things happen, you must learn not to switch off your service of the Lord. Amen. You must learn not to turn away from serving God because something negative is happening in your life. There are many people who don't go to church when something negative is happening in their lives. You lose a job, the church must also lose you. You're in a relationship, you break up with your, you know, beloved, then you break up with everybody around you. You see what I'm saying? But Zacharias was not that kind of person. The Bible says he had a priestly duty in verse 8. It says, while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, what he was expected to do, he did. He showed up to do what he was expected to do. He showed up to do what people were counting on him to do. Look at it. Everybody was outside just waiting for him. He couldn't let everybody down. It is true that he was having personal difficulties, that he was probably a frustrated priest. Yeah, because as a priest, I can imagine how many times he had prayed for people, you know, who had fertility issues, and God had answered those prayers. I can imagine how many babies he had dedicated himself as a priest. People would bring their children to church and he would look at them and he would just, you know, maybe his wife was sitting on the front row and he would look at the baby and just look at his wife. You get it? It's like, this is what we've been looking for, you know. And sometimes as he's praying for other people's babies, he's just asking in his heart, Lord, when? When? Because it is very common for a pastor or a priest to be suffering from the same thing that God is using him to solve or resolve in other people's lives. That's the truth. Because pastors are also human. And people who serve the Lord in the house of God are also human beings who also have issues. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But it is important for us to understand that serving the Lord is bigger than whatever personal problem you have, whatever personal difficulty you have. Amen. When people are looking up to you and people are counting on you, you need to rise up and do your duty and do your job and not allow your personal things to so consume you that all the people who are waiting outside will have no service on that day because Zachariah is upset that his baby, he had given the Lord, if by December 25th of 2019, my baby doesn't arrive, you will not see me in the church. He wasn't that kind of person. Amen. Learn not to let people down. Learn. The Bible talks about being instant in season and out of season. Amen. All the days are not equal. Amen. And it is true that the experiences we go through from day to day are not the same. But we must learn how to maintain a consistency. Amen. Amen. If you're a wife or a husband, you must learn how to be consistent. You can't get upset that and say that because of whatever is happening, you are not going to cook, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. You know, many wives just, you know, they just switch off. You're asking what? The lights. You know what I'm talking about. When things are not going your way, or when things are not a certain way, you just switch off. That's non-Zachariah behavior. Amen. I hope you're understanding the word of God. So learn to be consistent. Amen. You're angry, but cook. Yeah. You're upset, but be nice and be generous and benevolent. In a wifely and husbandly way. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't join the shops to shut down on Christmas Day. Shops are shut down and you are also shut down. Closed on Sunday. Are you Chick-fil-A? I understand you're a chick, but not Chick-fil-A. You must stay open. Amen. And you be like Zacharias. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, according to the next verse. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your house. So we just having a Christmas service. Reading the Bible. It's a prophetic encounter. Okay. It's like the Lord knew you were coming to church. All right. Now, the next verse says in verse 11 that while he was doing this thing, verse 11 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Amen. Now, look at this. He was there and just serving the Lord. And then while he was serving the Lord, the Bible says, suddenly, on a day that he was not expecting, you know, his miracle showed up. An angel of the Lord appeared standing on the right side the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Wow. Now look at this. When Zacharias and his wife thought that God had forgotten them and thought that where the subject of, you know, baby and raising a kid and so on was concerned, it was over. And they had closed the doors to such possibilities and thought that it's not even possible. This is not even there, you know. So much so that when the angel came and he spoke, Zacharias asked the angel, whereby shall I know this? Verse 18. Verse 18 says, you know, how will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. He said that, see, all those two things have implications. I'm an old man. It has implications. You get it? And said, my wife is advanced in years. That also has implications. You know, I don't know why an angel has decided to come and interrupt our peaceful existence with such words and such a promise. Now, what I want you to understand here is how that, where God is concerned, the matter is never closed. Amen. Amen. And sometimes in the face of impossibilities, God can be trusted to still turn things around. Hallelujah. With God, you are never gone too far. With God, things are never gone too far to be fixed. God is a fixer of issues no matter how bad the situation is. And no matter how old the situation is, no matter how long the situation has been around, God is able to fix issues and God is able to resolve matters. Can I have an amen? Amen. He said that the angel said, you know, when the angel came, the angel said, fear not, because your prayer is heard. So Zacharias had been praying for a child. He had been praying about it. Had been praying and had not given up. And the angel said, don't be afraid. Your prayer is actually heard, contrary to what you think. Hallelujah. Contrary to what you think, that God has abandoned you, God has forgotten you, God has not treated you the way he has treated others. The truth is that your prayer has actually been heard. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, prayer has been heard. And then not only has it been heard, it says that your wife will bear a son, and we even have a name for your son. Wow. God was preparing a package. You know, most of you who have had children, I don't know, Inni, you are the latest one who had a baby. Did an angel give you a name for your child? Yeah, you see, yeah. God gave you a child but left you to name the child. But in the case of Zechariah, God didn't only have a child for him. God had a special child that had, he even had a name for the child. Are you understanding it? And he had a mission for the child. And he said that the child shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Huh, that's another one. Because you have to be careful who is calling you great. It's important that the right person celebrates you. Do you get it? Sometimes we're dancing to the celebration of fools. Idiots are hailing us and calling us great. And our heads are swollen with flattery. And we think of ourselves, you know, in ways we ought not to think. We think we are people or we are something we are not. So you really have to be careful who is celebrating you. You are great, that's true. But according to who? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes people with warped value systems are celebrating us. They are clapping for us. You know, a man fights with his wife, beats her up, and goes to his friends, and his friends cheer him on and say, yeah, you the man. You see, so you're feeling great. But according to who? So this Zacharias, his son was going to be great, but great according to God's perspective. Amen. Because you are not great until God says you are great. It is when God says a person is great that you have true greatness. God's standards are the best standards. And God's standards for greatness are the true standards for greatness. That is true greatness. Not greatness according to another man. Or greatness according to any human being. Let's strive to be great in the eyes and in the sight of God. Let's look in the word and see, what does God respect? What are the things God calls great? Hallelujah. I mean, one of the things that caught my attention here says, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall not drink neither wine nor strong drink. What's that? He says he will not drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Well, so it sounds like these are what great people do. What do you think? Yeah, the people who are great don't drink, they don't get drunk, they don't move around, they don't do some of these kinds of things, because that's, according to God, that's great. Not according to your buddies, not according to your friends, not according to any human being. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then he says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He will turn many people to the Lord their God. He will turn many people to the Lord their God. That's another thing that great people do. Great people turn people towards the Lord. Hallelujah. Great people say, let's go to church. Great people say, let us pray. Great people say, I have a word to share with you. Let me share a verse from the word of God with you. Great people turn people towards God. They remind people, they make people conscious of their maker. Hallelujah. Great people remind people that you are not a self-existing, self-sustaining person. Someone puts the life in you. Hallelujah. Someone puts the life in you, and that person must be regarded. You must be conscious of that person. Can I have an amen? There was a king in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. And the king was having a party. He invited his friends. And then they were just having fun. And as they were having fun, then he probably, under the influence of alcohol, he was now trying to impress the people. So he sent some people to go into the temple and to bring the special vessels they had. They had special vessels, glasses and cups and things like that, you know, sacred things stored in the temple. And he sent people, go bring those things, let's use them. You know, after all, what is it? I mean, they say they are special. Is it for priests? Who are those people? Just go bring them. You know how people can be very arrogant, especially towards God and towards God's people, towards God's house and the things of God. You see, and so this man sent for these things. He says, and let me give you a verse. Verse 3. It says, then they brought the, no, verse 2 says, Belshazzar. All right, why don't I just start from verse 1? Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Can you see that? Yes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. That means drink from them. You know, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron and wood and of stone. Can you see that? So he organized a party. He brought all his wives there. And then he brought all his concubines. A concubine is a side chick. You get it? Yeah. It's like, a chick on the side. You get it? But you can see even the level of arrogance, because most guys will not keep the wife and the side chick in the same party. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, she can exist, but, you know, in a different place. But this guy, he was so arrogant that he brought the wives and then he brought the chicks and had them all in the same place. Then he said, go and bring those special vessels from the church. Bring them and let's drink, let's use them. And let's drink from them. After all, what is it? But the Bible says that in that same hour, verse 5, came forth the fingers of a man and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster or the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried, because it's a scary thing. I mean, can you imagine if you were in your room and you saw a handwriting on the wall that didn't belong to anyone? I mean, that would be very scary. So the man, you know, so he says he called, he cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, etc., etc., etc. So anyway, they went and they tried to find people. Nobody could do it. Then someone recommended a man called Daniel. So then Daniel is introduced into the picture, right? Then Daniel comes and he brings the interpretation. Amen. Now, what I want to read to you is a small part of what Daniel said. Daniel said that I just want to just read that small part to you. And hallelujah. Are you learning from something from what we are reading? Okay. So if you go down to verse 22. It says, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hath not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Okay, so Daniel gave the interpretation. He explained what was happening, etc., and why God had decided to talk to him. But look at it. Verse 23 says, he says, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk in them, and has praised the gods of silver and gold and brass iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Wow. Now, the Bible says there is a God in whose hand your breath is. You get it? And who owns all your ways? See, sometimes we're given liberty to move around and to do things, but and that sometimes causes us to forget that really we belong to someone, and that there is a God in whose hands all our ways, our plans belong. Amen. Amen. It's like sometimes when you see dog owners walking their dog, the dog is on a leash, but he looks like he has liberty. You know, and he can go to the left and go to the right, you know, until he's trying to do something that the owner does not wish for the dog to do. Like if the dog was extending itself, you know, trying to maybe attack another dog or something like that, then the leash would hold the dog right back. It would just restrain the dog, and the dog would then understand that I was not my own after all. Are you getting it? And we as human beings have been given a will, and we've been given the power to do what we want, when we want, etc. And that sometimes makes us forget that there is a God in whose hand your breath is. Can you see that part of the verse? At the last two lines. Kawi, is there a way you can move this thing up so that we can see that part of the verse? It says, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. God expects us to honor him and to glorify him as the God in whose hand our breath is. Amen. Amen. As a God who rules in the affairs of men. Hallelujah. As a God who is in charge of our affairs, and as a God who reserves the right to step in and to interfere and intercept the things that we do. Hallelujah. Right. So anyway, to conclude my little Christmas message back to Zechariah, he says that he will turn people to the Lord their God. Amen. He will make people conscious of God. People will say that, look, there's a God in whose hand my breath is. There's a God in who owns all my ways. You know, he owns your ways means if he doesn't permit you, you can't do it. Isn't it? Yeah. Because if I was going for a walk with my dog on the leash, even though the dog is the one doing the walking, I would own all his ways. Isn't it? I would own all his ways means that anything he does, it is because I have allowed him to do. That's why if he destroys something, the owner of that thing will come after me. Because I own his ways. Hallelujah. So that's how it is with God. And God, because he owns our ways, we need to be conscious of him. And we need to serve him as the God in whose hand our breath is. Amen. Amen. Then it says in verse 17, he shall go before him in the spirit of power, the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then Zechariah said, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And then in verse 20 he says, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. God wants you to believe his words. God wants you to do what? Believe his words. Amen. Believe his words. Believe the words I'm sharing with you this morning. You have to believe them. Hallelujah. And it says, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Hallelujah. That is my last point for today. My last point for today is that God's word and promise will be fulfilled in their season. Hallelujah. The Bible says there is a time for everything. There is a time for every purpose. There is a time and a season for everything. That just because God promised it doesn't mean necessarily that it will happen today or tomorrow. And also the fact that it hasn't happened for so long doesn't also mean it will not happen. Amen. It has a time and it has a season. Amen. When the season comes, whatever God has promised, whatever God has said he will do, will come to pass. What God has promised is what will happen when the season comes for it to happen. Hallelujah. So whatever you are waiting on the Lord for, whatever you are trusting God for, whatever you have been praying to the Lord for, today the word of the Lord to you is to remain encouraged. Amen. Just like Zacharias, stay encouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't think that it's over. Maybe you've been praying for years about someone or about a situation or about something. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Believe God. Keep believing. Because he said his words will be fulfilled in their season. It will be fulfilled in their season. There is a day when that prayer will be answered. Hallelujah. There is a day when that problem will be resolved. There is a day when that situation will cease. Its power to afflict you, to make you cry, to affect you, will vanish. Because the season for that end has come. And that's the word of the Lord, and that's the promise of the Lord. Hallelujah. So turn to your neighbor and say to him or her, do not give up. Just wait for your season. Yeah, tell the person, be like Zacharias. And just wait for your season. And your time will come. And God will move on your behalf. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for today and we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to hear words spoken to us from the Bible, the word of God, again. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today, whether they're on the podcast, they're online, or right here with us in this room. I pray, Lord, you know the lives, you know the situations, you know the circumstances, you know those who are almost giving up, and those who have even given up on themselves, given up on their marriages, given up on their careers, given up on their health, given up on so many other things and in so many other areas that affect them because they think that you have forgotten them. But thank you for the assurance that we are not forgotten, that indeed our prayers are heard. Lord, may you send an angel, just like you sent an angel to Zacharias, may our angels appear, Lord, with good news in the name of Jesus. Let our angels arrive into our lives, into our situations with good news. And I pray, Lord, that miracles, as we go into the new year, into 2020, let it be a year of wonders, a year of unexpected answers, a year of solutions, a season, oh God, of refreshing, because your promises are true. Whatever God has promised, the Bible says it shall come to pass. Nothing shall be taken away from it, and nothing can be added to it. We thank you, Lord, for what you are about to do. We pray for everyone that is in need of a miracle. We pray for people in long-standing situations that have refused to bow to solutions and answers. We pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that they will all experience a visitation. Let the angel of God visit every such situation in the name of Jesus, to turn things around, to open closed doors, to close open doors, and to cause the affliction of the enemy to cease in the name of Jesus. We pray for sickness. We pray against sickness, and we ask sickness to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. People who have been suffering for a long time and suffering all kinds of diseases that bring discomfort and that threaten their lives, Lord, we pray for them this morning in the name of Jesus. Let the angel visit their lives with healing in the name of Jesus. May their healing arrive on a day they don't expect it in the name of Jesus. Let everyone's story be like Zacharias and Elizabeth in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, while every eye is still closed, let's just take a moment to just give people an opportunity to commit themselves to the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity. If you are watching us online, or you're listening to the podcast, or you're right here in this room, and you know in your heart that you have not given your life to Jesus, you know in your heart that your sins are not forgiven, you know in your heart that if you were to die today, if the God in whose hand your breath is was to pull on that breath today, you know that you don't know where you will stand with him. You don't know if you will go to heaven or you go to hell. I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus. So if you're here, or if you're online and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to just raise up your right hand right where you are, and we'll pray together. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, just raise up your right hand and we'll pray together. Is there anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer? Then let's say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I am a sinner, and you died for my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me, and let your blood cleanse me, and make me a child of God. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to live like a Christian. I want to live like a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Amen. Right, we want to have communion, so can we stand to our feet as we bring the communion around? And our lives have just begun. In the Spirit we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of hope.
Give them.
Body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Right, we're going to go over to the First Love Church and join them over there as Prophet Doug speaks a blessing over us. Amen. Right, so let's go over to the First Love Church.
Whatever represents a mistake,
by this blood.
Yes.
It's washed away.
Amen.
Whatever represents evidence against you.
Amen.
Evidence used to condemn you.
Amen.
By this blood. It's washed away.
Amen.
You are a new person.
Amen.
You are a better person.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Lift your hands. Receive your blessing. May you never be excluded.
Amen.
From heaven.
Amen.
May you never be called a dog.
Amen.
And made to be less than those in the house. May you never be outside the house while there are people inside the house.
Amen.
May you be included in the good things.
Amen.
And above all, as we go forward to the new year, whatever seems impossible,
yes,
really looks impossible this year,
yes,
has become possible for you.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Whatever looks far away has become near this year. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you are not good at doing,
yes,
this year, beginning from now,
yes,
you'll be good at doing it.
Amen.
Whatever made you fail in 2019,
yes,
in certain areas of your life, in 2020, beginning from 2020, you will see a big improvement.
Amen. The Lord a clap offering, everybody. Give the Lord a clap offering. You may be seated, please. Okay. Yes.